The Human Side of Enterprise. Author, Douglas McGregor. Every professional is concerned with the use of knowledge in the achievement of objectives. The professional draws upon the knowledge of science and his colleagues, and upon knowledge gained through personal experience. The degree to which he relies upon the first two of these, rather than the third, is one of the ways in which the professional may be distinguished from the layman. He can draw upon a reasonable and growing body of knowledge in the social sciences as an aid to achieving his managerial objectives. He need not rely exclusively on personal experience and observations. Methods of influence and control. The first thing to be noted about authority is that it is but one of several forms of social influence or control. Direct physical coercion is the most powerful and most primitive of these. It was almost universal a few centuries ago, and we still resort to it sometimes, although its use is limited by social prohibitions in our culture today. Physical coercion is a legitimate means of social control over certain forms of criminal behavior. Persuasion, in many forms, represents other means of social control. In the sales field, where authority and physical coercion are clearly inappropriate, we place major reliance on this type of influence. Within management, consultation and discussion provide at least a partial substitution of persuasion for authority. Theory X, the traditional view of direction and control. Behind every managerial decision or action are assumptions about human nature and human behavior. A few of these are remarkably pervasive. They are implicit in most of the literature of organizations and in much more current managerial policy and practice. 1. The average human being has an inherent dislike of work and will avoid it if he can. 2. Because of this human characteristic of dislike of work, most people must be coerced, controlled, directed, threatened with punishment to get them to push forth adequate effort toward the achievement of organizational objectives. 3. The average human being prefers to be directed, wishes to avoid responsibility, has relatively little ambition, and wants security above all. This set of assumptions bear the name of Theory X. Theory X provides an explanation of some human behavior in industry. These assumptions would not have persisted if there were not a considerable body of evidence to support them. Nevertheless, there are many readily observable phenomena in industry and elsewhere which are consistent with this view of human nature. However, the growth of knowledge in social sciences during the past quarter century has made it possible to reformulate some assumptions about human nature and human behavior in the organizational setting, which resolve certain inconsistencies inherent of Theory X. While this reformulation is, of course, tentative, it provides an improved basis for prediction and control of human behavior in industry. Theory Y, integration of individual and organizational goals. The assumptions of Theory Y. 1. The expenditure of physical and mental effort in work is as natural as play or rest. 2. External control and the threat of punishment are not the only means for bringing about effort toward organizational objectives. Man will exercise self-direction and self-control in the service of objectives to which he is committed. 3. Commitment to objectives is a function of the rewards associated with their achievement. 4. The average human being learns, under proper conditions, not only to accept but to seek responsibility. The principle of integration. The principle of integration demands that both the organization and the individual's needs be recognized. Of course, when there is a sincere joint effort to find it, an integrative solution which meets the needs of the individual and the organization is a frequent outcome. But not always. And this is the point at which Theory Y begins to appear unrealistic. It collides head-on with persuasive attitudes associated with management by direction and control. The assumptions of Theory Y imply that unless integration is achieved, the organization will suffer. The objectives of the organization are not achieved by the unilateral administration of promotions, because this form of management by direction and control will not create the commitment which would make available the full resources of those affected. The lesser the resulting degree of self-direction and self-control are costs which, the lesser the motivation, the lesser the resulting degree of self-direction and self-control are costs which, when added up, for many instances over time, will more than offset the gains obtained by unilateral decisions for the good of the organization. Participation in perspective. Some proponents of participation give the impression that it is a magic formula which will eliminate conflict and disagreement, and come pretty close to solving all management's problems. Some critics of participation, on the other hand, see it as a form of management abdication. It is a dangerous idea that will undermine management prerogatives and almost certainly get out of control. It is a concept which for them fits the pattern of soft management exclusively. It wastes time, lowers efficiency, and weakens management's effectiveness. The effective use of participation is a consequence of a managerial point of view, which includes confidence in potentialities of subordinates, awareness of the management's dependency downwards, and a desire to avoid some of the negative consequences of emphasis on personal authority. It is consistent with theory Y, with management by integration and self-control, the power of the staff. Quite apart from their inheritance of the control function, staff groups are the ones who make it possible for management to solve the ever more intricate problem of today's world in the financial, technical, scientific, legislative, economic, and human fields. Their knowledge and training in their specialties and their techniques for analyzing and solving problems are absolutely essential to the success of the modern enterprise. Consequently, we have an odd reversal of the controversial organization theory. The line, the central and fundamental authoritative chain of command, is becoming increasingly dependent on a considerable number of specialized staff groups, the advisory and service groups who cannot exercise authority because of the logical necessities for both unity of command and because the logical necessity for unity of command are becoming both by virtue of the importance of their knowledge and skill and because of management's delegation to them of control and coordinative functions, the dominant, influential core of the organization. In one very large company, 70% of the personnel above the second level of supervision are staff, and the proportion is growing. Leadership is a relationship. There are at least four major variables now known to be involved in leadership. 1. The characteristics of the leader. 2. The attitudes, needs, and other personal characteristics of the followers. Characteristics of the organization, such as its purpose, its structure, and the nature of the tasks it performs. The social, economic, and political milieu. The personal characteristics required for effective performance as a leader vary, depending on other factors. This is an important research finding. It means that it is not a property of the individual, but a complex relationship among these variables. The old argument over whether the leader makes history or history makes the leader is resolved by this conception. Both assertions are true, within limits. The behavior of the immediate superior. Every encounter between a superior and a subordinate involves learning of some kind for the subordinate. It should involve learning for a superior too, but that is another matter. The attitudes, the habits, and the expectations of the subordinate will be either reinforced or modified to some degree as a result of every encounter with the boss. This is why on-the-job training is such a significant process. It is why the results of classroom supervisory training are often discouraging. The day-by-day experience on the job is so much more powerful that it tends to overshadow what the individual may learn in other settings. Acquiring managerial skills in the classroom. Managerial competence is created on the job, not in the classroom. However, classroom education can be used as a powerful aid to the process of management development, providing there is a sufficient understanding of the different kinds of learning which are involved and of the different methods and strategies that are appropriate to these. Thus, 1. Classroom learning is effective only within an organizational climate conductive to growth. 2. The motivations of the individual, his felt needs for the new knowledge or increased skill, are absolutely critical factors in any learning. 3. Learning is an active process. 4. Practice, experience, and effective feedback are essential aspects of any learning, which involves behavior change. 5. The skills of social interaction are at the same time among the most essential for the manager and the most difficult to improve in the classroom. To sum up, management is severely hampered today in its attempts to innovate with respect to the human side of the enterprise by the inadequacy of conventional organization theory. Based on invalid and limiting assumptions about human behavior, this theory blinds us to many possibilities for invention, just as the physical science theory of a half century ago prevented even the perception of the possibility of radar or space travel. It is not important that management accept the assumptions of theory Y. These are one man's interpretations of current social science knowledge, and they will be modified, possibly supplanted, by new knowledge within a short time. It is important that management abandon limiting assumptions like those of theory X, so that the future inventions with respect to the human side of enterprise will be more than minor changes in already adolescent conceptions of organized human effort.